This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. We have a lot to recap this week. We are into the final week now, the WHL trade deadline. It opened with two blockbuster moves. Wenatchee trading World Junior forwards Connor Keke to the Swift Current Broncos. Matt Savoy to the Moose Jaw Warriors. We'll have reaction in moments from Warriors GM Jason Riplinger and with Wenatchee GM Bliss Littler as Wenatchee picks up 14 pieces in the two deals to restock the draft cupboards. Prince George Cougars may not be done after a couple of moves to acquire veterans. General manager, head coach Mark Lamb stops by. Spokane Chiefs forward Chase Berthelet is the Tempo WHL Player of the Week. He pops by for a chat. And the WHL Goaltender of the Month for December, Chase Wutzke of the Red Deer Rebels. He'll close out the show. First up, the Moose Jaw Warriors making a big splash this week, acquiring Matt Savoy from the Wenatchee Wild, fresh off his appearance with Canada at the World Juniors. Jason Riplinger, the general manager of the Moose Jaw Warriors, was half of this deal to make it all work with the Wenatchee Wild. He joins us on the line. Jason, first of all, you have to be, I don't know what the feeling is, relieved, ecstatic, as you pull a move like this off that does not involve any of your roster players going back. It has to be a good feeling.
Yeah, no, it's a great day. It's an exciting day for the organization and the city of Moose Jaw to pull off a deal like that and without giving up any roster players. It's big for this year, and it helps for next year as well.
When you pull a move like this off, it is probably a lot of back and forth with the other general manager here. This deal probably in the works here for a few weeks. Take me through the timeline.
Yeah, no, we started talking probably right before Christmas. I reached out to Bliss just to let him know that we had some interest in Matthew Savoy, and if there's something there that we could make a fit, we could maybe make a deal.
What are you getting, do you think, in Matt Savoy?
Well, I think we're obviously getting a world-class hockey player, but I was able to talk to Matthew today. Great kid. He's going to bring us some character and some grit and some scoring. And obviously, we played them in the last 2 years in the playoffs. And obviously, he was a player that you wanted on your team.
This is a move that excites fan bases. It's a move where you add a marquee player who has just featured, on national TV the last couple of weeks here. Is the goal to energize the fans and say, hey, let's rally around these moves we've made and try and win a championship and give this fan base a reason to get excited and get to the rink?
Yeah, for sure. It's our 40th year anniversary here, and I've obviously challenged our salespeople to make sure that we take advantage of the situation of having all these world junior players on our team. And this doesn't come around very often, and here's our chance to try to win a championship.
I guess the joke now will be that your third jersey might be the Team Canada sweater here, but you add, of course, the three already players that were at World Juniors representing the Moose Jaw Warriors. This isn't the only big move you've made. Like, you pulled a significant deal with the Moose Jaw Warriors to add some grit in Kovacevic and add a defenseman in Wojtek Port. What was the thought behind that move, Jason?
Yeah, that move there, I just thought we were maybe lacking a little bit of grit with the Kovacevic, and he was a player that Edmonton didn't really want to trade, but when you offer something that's hard to refuse, Kurt and I were able to make a deal, and with Port, there's another reason we were maybe short on the defense, and I thought we could make our top four a lot better, and he came available, so we were able to work out some picks and we were able to get the deal done.
You weren't the general manager in 2017 in Moose Jaw, but this definitely has a feel of that with, the Warriors making big moves, the Swift Current Broncos making big moves. The only difference this time around is that the playoff format is different. You got the Saskatoon Blades right there as well making big moves here. This is going to be a very exciting stretch run and WHL playoffs because the road will have to go through, one or two of those teams in order to win the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, absolutely. The parity in our league is phenomenal, and I think in our division here, there's the first round is going to be hard to get out of, but that's we're built to try to make the playoffs, which I'm assuming we will, and we better, I think, our first round matchup is, it's going to be a test for us as well.
Yeah, big time for sure. We are sitting here, we're speaking in the afternoon of January the 4th. We're 6 days out, almost exactly 6 days out. You've done some massive moves already, and the question has to be asked, are you done?
I don't think you're ever done until the deadline's over. You're always looking to improve your team. Obviously you have to sit down and start managing your picks and see what years you still have picks in and stuff. And we still got a lot of late round picks and mid round picks. Over the years, we've been getting more picks from just trading guys here and there, and we're able to bank some and able to use some this year too.
Well, it's a great body of work to get the players in you have. What's the weekend set up like? Can you get Matt Savoy in this weekend?
Yeah, no, he'll be here probably around the deadline, as will Matejczuk and Jaeger as well. So we're just giving them a little bit of a break here so they're nice and fresh and ready to go.
Hey, certainly exciting times in the friendly city. Appreciate you doing this here for our show. And best of luck down the stretch. We'll be following the Warriors. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
From the drop of the puck to the Edschenout Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Bliss Littler, the general manager of the Wenatchee Wild, probably making bittersweet deals this week involving his star players Matt Savoy and Connor Geeky, returns 14 pieces and joins us on the line. Bliss, I use the word bittersweet. How are you feeling today?
Well, that's probably a good way to put it. My first two calls this morning, well, Connor Geeky called me right away around 8 this morning, and I talked to Matt right after that, and I tell you that they're not just great players, just quality people. My 30-plus years in the business, they've had to trade a decent amount of players, but how those two handled it, they're pros, and it shows. They're just classy kids.
We spoke in November, Bliss, and you were contemplating, doing this, and we've talked about, the draft cupboards you were left with from the franchise coming from Winnipeg here. At what point did you say, okay, this is the direction we have to go?
Well, about a week before Dave Dwight bought the team, and at that point, looking at what was in the cupboards, and you find out that a lot of teams do kind of sell the future a little bit, and Winnipeg may have taken it a bit to the extreme. But at that point is when it really hits you that you're gonna have to have a plan to get some of those picks back, or we'll be rotten for 5-6 years, and so it really never leaves the back of your head that it's always there. And I would say middle of November is when things heated up with, there's probably 4 or 5 teams that tried to get in the mix. And the first 2 weeks, the offers weren't that great. We knew that they'd get better. And then when you got to early December, around the 10th, I suppose, when the kids were leaving for World Junior, it really heated up. And at that point, what people were offering, you had to do it. I think we got, in the next 4 years, we've recovered since the start of the year. We have 37 of our 40 picks. If there's 10 in each year, we've got 37 of them back with, I think, 6 players also. So, I think we knew we had to do it. It's just you wanted to have the benefit of them here as long as possible so you could show the fans what the truly elite players in the Western Hockey League look like and what they give them something to look forward to in the future.
Let's take nothing away from the team you still have there. You're in a great position this season still. It may be tough to hold on to second overall, but you have to feel that you're a playoff team. You could potentially be a home ice in the first round team here still. And, you know, you have to rally up the troops here and try to give it a go the rest of the year.
Yeah. You know, I've looked at the schedule and we're still scheduled. We're still playing and, you know, we have an opportunity that, we've lost arguably two of the best players in the league, and but we have a pretty good hockey club still. You know, I think there's a chance that we stay healthy, get a little lucky, a bounce here or there. You know, maybe we can get home ice, but definitely want to make the playoffs and let our fans experience what the Western Hockey League is during the playoffs and move forward from there. So we're definitely not throwing the towel in. Anyone that thinks that's what we're doing, we're definitely shooting to try to get home ice and win as many hockey games as we can.
Boy, it's been a whirlwind time here for you. Maybe you get a chance to catch your breath, but we appreciate you giving us the goods here on the show this week. And best of luck moving forward. Can't wait to run into you later this season down in Wenatchee. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good, John.
In the corners and around the boards, the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
The Prince George Cougars have made a pair of moves to bolster their Western Conference leading roster. This despite losing top forward Cohen Ziemer to a long-term injury. I asked Cougars GM and head coach Mark Lamb the timeline on Ziemer's return.
Well, it's still up in the air. I think there's some better news than we first thought. And he's down in L.A. He was down in L.A. He got the surgery down there. He's going to go back, which is a lot of help for us. Getting that surgery really early could probably get him back in the lineup this year. And he's in good spirits. One of those, fluky injuries. You're going in there to stick up for a teammate, and it happened. And it happened to one of our best players, so we just got to deal with it.
I know down the stretch I held my breath every time a player went down. You're thinking about playoffs and Memorial Cup. The Blazers, for the most part, were able to stay healthy. But as a coach and GM, like, first of all, you're thinking about the player, the kid. But it's like, one injury can really change a lot of plans sometimes.
It does. And, especially when it's a high-end player like that and you're fitting pieces in and you're looking to the future, especially this year, moving on into the second half here. And, you can't replace Cohen Ziemer, just like you can't replace anybody's, top three guys or top two D. You just don't replace those guys, and you got to do it as committee.
Trade deadline's coming up. You pulled another one out of the hat in the bargain bin for a third-round pick in Chase Pauls, a 20-year-old D-man. Why Chase Pauls? And it's a great price, I'm sure he'll add to it. But what was the thought there?
Well, I've been watching him for a few years. He's 20-year-old, so you watch those guys, and you're always looking for a fit to your hockey team. We got some guys back there that can move the puck, can really skate, and I thought we needed more size and just more of a stay-at-home guy. Right-handed shot really helps too.
If I'm a general manager and you're looking for a mid-upgrade, I'm probably not picking up the phone if I see your number. I think back to Chase Wheatcroft. I think back to Zach Funk and how you were able to turn those two players, basically into 50-goal guys. At least that's the pace that, 60 goals is the pace here for Zach Funk right now. But you've been able to kind of pull some diamonds out of a rough for a lower price.
Well, these players are always good hockey players, and experience means a lot. And like I say, when you look for fits, guys that can play with, you look at chemistry. And, I was talking about Pauls last year, quite a bit. And he was even more intriguing this year, when we started getting going. And, talked to Peter, and, he was over in Europe, and talked to his son, and we made it happen.
Now there's eyes on you to perhaps pull a big move off, and I'm not sure how big we're talking, because you've talked in the past how you're not really, wanting to do what, some other teams have done as far as assets go and two and three first rounders for picks here, but I'm sure you're still eyeing something that could be large. Where are you as we get closer to the deadline, Mark?
Well, I'm looking at everything, for sure. You know, you you know, you're looking at the prices and stuff, we're, you know, we look at that, but we're not scared to jump in if we think it's a really good fit and it's going to help our team, that's for sure. And, you know, the players that we're hearing, you know, the players that you hear, that I hear, the top guys in the league, those prices are big, and you better make the right decisions.
Now, in Prince George back in 2016, you weren't there yet, but they really pushed all in, and it's really taken them until last year, you know, with your guidance to get them back on track and be a contender again here. Is there thought of, we don't want to go through that again?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people in Prince George might feel like that, right? So, you know, I was, you know, I watched that too. You know, I seen what they did, and, you know, you can get really excited about your team, you know, sometimes, and then you can get really down on your team sometimes. So, you know, there's a balance there. We put a lot of work into building it up. We think we have those players on our team, the star players. There's nothing wrong with that in another one, but chemistry is very important also. If you have a really good room and the guys really get along, it means a lot.
Okay, well, we'll be watching to see what happens here by January 10th. Thanks for doing this.
All right, anytime.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
Hey, the Tempo WHL Player of the Week is a player that can absolutely fly. He's 20-year-old Chase Berthelet. And speaking of flying, the Spokane Chiefs are all the way out in the prairies to kick off a Central Division road trip. That's where we catch up with Chase as the Tempo WHL Player of the Week. Chase, real good run you're on personally, right? 6 goals, a couple of game winners, 10 points overall last week. You guys get it done, and you seem to be on a roll right now.
Yeah, our whole team is just buzzing right now. I know we wanted to come off in the second half here and start off hot. So we're all just very happy with the way we're playing right now, and I think that's contributing to a little bit of an individual success as well.
You're 20 now. You've seen some things. Like, you've been around a little bit here. You were in Winnipeg. You're in Spokane. You've had a chance to play, you know, on a top line with Berkeley Catton and Connor Roulette for a lot of the season here. So, you know, this is your time right now.
Yeah, I know those two guys. As you mentioned, they're pretty special players. It's been a lot of fun playing with them. In my I know I played with Burke the last year and a half here, but with Rue, I think that's just a great addition to our line, and I think we're making some noise. So,
what about your stretch here? In fact, actually, I look back further; it's 20 points in your last 9 games. You go into Tri-City for a rivalry game, New Year's Eve, and you put up 11. Take me back to that night and how you guys got it done.
Yeah, well, we knew it was going to be a hard battle against Tri-City the night before. We beat them in our rink, but we knew we needed every line going, and that's exactly what happened. I think one through four, everyone was contributing, and as I think there was almost our whole team were on the score sheet, which I guess doesn't really matter, but it's huge when everyone's doing their part, and that's how you win games.
Nothing like going into Tri-City and ruining New Year's Eve, that's for sure. But take me through where you guys are at right now. We catch up. You're in Swift Current. You're about to kick off that Central Division road swing here. This has to be exciting here for your group. You can be the tour guide. You used to play out in that conference, so must be a nice 10 days ahead here for you.
Yeah, it's really cool. We get to go play in those NHL arenas in Calgary, Edmonton. It'll be a new experience for most of the team, I'd be sure of. So I think we're just super pumped. It's always fun being on the road with the guys, and you know, hopefully kick off the trip to a good start tomorrow night.
Got the Broncos there to start. No doubt that, you know, you play these games, you have an expectation of how well you want to do. What's a good road trip, do you think, Chase, for the Spokane Chiefs? What's the number?
I'd say we want to win them all. Like, that'd be ideal, obviously, but I think we're just the only thing we can focus on is playing as hard as we can and working as hard, and hopefully the outcome comes our way. So,
you mentioned you've started off the second half well. I know Spokane's in a battle to make the playoffs. How important is it to get in, you know, not only for that younger group, but for you too, a guy that, you know, this is your last kick at it?
Yeah, I think obviously as a 20-year-old, I want to play in the playoffs, play some good hockey, and not just play in the playoffs, but make a run
and get past the first couple rounds. I know for the team, for the next couple of years, this playoff experience will be huge for them for the upcoming year. So,
well, good stuff. I know that it's been a lot of fun there in Spokane, and you know you're trying to be one of the leaders on the team this year. And what a great stretch you've had as the Tempo WHL Player of the Week. And enjoy that run. You're the closest point to home right now, right? The Paw, Manitoba. I don't know if you can get some family out from the Paw to watch you on this road trip or not this week ahead.
Yeah, there's a couple coming down, buddies and some family members. So,
all right. Well, hey, enjoy it and enjoy that final big long road trip of your WHL career. And congratulations on the run you're on right now.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Red Deer Rebels goaltender Chase Wiske has got his team right back in the battle for home ice advantage in the Eastern Conference. He is the WHL goaltender of the month after a sensational December. Troy Gillard has more.
Chase Wiske, congratulations on being named the WHL's goaltender of the month. That has to be pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's something that you always look forward to, and yeah, it's good.
Just what can you say about the way your game has come around here in the last 2 months in particular?
Yeah, no, I'm starting to play with more confidence that now I'm playing, and you know, it's been good. Me and Stolz, we've been helping each other out and building confidence for each other and battling against each other in practices. It's been good.
Now, it didn't quite start out well for you this year. You kind of had to find your footing a little bit. Was there a particular turning point that you can look back at and say that it kind of flipped in the right direction for you?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been ever since the Sask road trip when I went and seen some family and kind of got my confidence going, and it was good there. And ever since then, I think I've started to play my way, and it's been good.
So when Chase Witzke's having a good night between the pipes, which is obviously on a fairly regular basis now, what's going well for you?
Yeah, I don't know, just kind of smiling like Coach said and doing my thing. It's been good.
You seem like a very technical sound goaltender, so obviously you're putting a lot of work into that too.
Yeah, no, Gordo, he's been helping us lots, and it's been good. He's been kind of cracking down on us and helping us out lots.
You started the year with three goaltenders, you, Kyle Kelsey, and Rhett Stoss. Now it's just you and Rhett Stoss. Was that a big vote of confidence for you in that regard as well?
Yeah, when I was three, you know, you kind of had to be the guy that was working that extra bit to try and stay here. And now that it's just me and Stoss, it's been good. We're definitely a tandem that likes to do the same thing, so it's always a good thing.
And Stoss is a pretty good dude. You guys have a lot of fun working with each other.
Oh, yeah, Stoss, he's awesome.
The ultimate definition of a friendly competition between you two?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just how much fun is it, Chase, also playing behind this really strong defensive club with the guys you have in front of you?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. The guys have they help out lots getting guys out in front of the net and getting us to be able to see the puck, so it's been good.
And obviously, Chase, you're a draft-eligible netminder, so the fact that you're able to string all these strong performances together has to speak well for you in that regard.
Yeah, no, you kind of just got to – everybody knows that the draft's coming up and everybody wants to put on the best show for them. But, you know, just got to play your game and do your thing.
It's been great watching you so far, Chase. Congratulations, WHL Goaltender of the Month for December.
Thank you.
Hey, that's the show. Thanks to our guests and Troy in Red Deer for his help. Next week, we'll have a full trade deadline recap show as it passes Wednesday. We'll look at some of the big moves the contenders pull off. I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening.